Amen. Well, even though we've had a vitreous Sunday, okay, lots of vitreous twists and turns today. That was a highlight, so that was good. That was very good. Thank you, Ginger. So, I appreciate her taking the time to share that. We're in Acts chapter 17. Yes, Jeff, in answer to your question, there is a sermon, okay? I got 5 minutes to get a 20-minute sermon done, okay? So, yeah. So we're going to we'll press forward. This has been an interesting day, okay? Lights, actions, cameras, it's been interesting to see all the things. I appreciate your forbearance and helping us work through the difficulty. So, as you know, we've been reading through Acts and looking at what God has been doing in Acts. Last time we looked at it, we were looking at Paul as they were released from jail after being in jail with the Philippian in Philippi, that they had the time to share with the Philippian jailer, witness to him. He and his whole family, his whole household were saved and baptized. And then Paul was released, and he held them accountable, asked them to make the apology that was necessary. And they did so to him, and Paul and Silas left peacefully from that point on, okay? And we find that this is where we're picking them up in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis, okay, and Apollonia, I'm sorry, they came to Thessalonica. Now, some people pronounce that Thessalonica, okay, but, yeah, you know, I wasn't there, okay? I took my Greek class, and you know what? They said it depends on which version of the Greek that you want to use, either the modern version or the what they consider to be the ancient pronunciation, but nobody even knows why they think that was the ancient. So anyway, Thessalonica, that's how I pronounce it, okay? So if you guys wonder. So anyway, where there was a Jewish synagogue. So here's Paul. They left Philippi. They went on. They were basically heading westward on the northern coast of the Aegean Sea, okay? So they were moving westward. My westward. Your westward would be this way. They were moving westward on the Aegean Sea and heading staying close to the coast there at the northern part of the Aegean Sea. And it says they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. And that was one of the things that you notice with Paul. He always goes there first. And I think that's kind of respectful, knowing that God had chosen the Jewish people. He was starting his ministry there, gave them, if you want to put it this way, the right of first refusal. I don't know. But he went there first and tried to have a dialogue with them and encounter them. And it says, as it was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, so for at least 3 weeks, he was there reasoning with them. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, and he was explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. And he said to them, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. So understand, the people there knew. They knew the scriptures. They had studied that. They understood. They were anticipating a Messiah. The problem was their concept of who the Messiah was not what Jesus Christ revealed it to be, okay? That just like so many others, we misinterpret the Word of God. We want build it into our image of who God is supposed to be, our image, our understanding, and we miss who God really is when he comes by, okay? We miss him. And here, Paul came and says, no, guys, you're looking for the wrong thing. Here, let me show you in the scripture where it says that Jesus is going to suffer, where he's going to have to die, where this is going on. And he revealed to them, opened up the scripture so that they could understand it differently than they had been taught, okay? And he spent that time doing that. And the consequence there, he said, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. And he said, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we continue on in your scripture and from this point that, God, your Holy Spirit will just speak to each heart. Pray, God, that we will understand how the Word relates to us today in this time that we're living, and how we are to conduct our lives because of what you show us here. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, so the consequence of this was that people received Christ. This is a good thing, right? Paul was having a dynamic ministry. He was going places. He was doing the things that God wanted him to do. Everyone should be happy, right? People were coming to know God better. Their lives were being changed, and a difference was happening, okay? Well, but you read on. But, there's that word. But, yeah, you know, it says, everything I just told you about it being good, now it's going to change, okay? And in verse 5, but other Jews were jealous. Now, that's Luke's word, okay? Luke says they were jealous, and I think that's probably a good description in a one-word thing. But we're going to see, I think there's more to the just than this concept of that we think of jealous, okay? I think we've softened it too much over the years, but these Jews were jealous. So what did they do? So they rounded up some bad characters. Now I like it in the HSBC, the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. It says they were scoundrels. Okay, ooh, don't you like that word? They were scoundrels. Yeah, they were bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob and started a riot in the city. Listen to that. They started a riot in the city. And they rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. Now, wow. It says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials, shouting, listen to this. These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. Now, I think in some of the other translations, it says they turned the world upside down. Upside down. Isn't that an interesting concept there? Now, so understand what happened. Paul and Silas were just going about their business. They presented the gospel. They helped some Jews who were already worshiping. They helped them to understand how Jesus was the fulfillment, the climax of their religion, what they had been hoping for all these years. And they pointed this out, and it says some people were jealous. Jealous. Why were they jealous? You know, I you know, you think of jealousy. Well, he's got a nicer car than I do, or his bike is bigger, his motorcycle, right? You know, he's got a bigger motorcycle than I do. He's got, you know, you think about it, and you get kind of those things. Not anymore, Jeff. You're not jealous of that. Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know, Jeff is recovering from a motorcycle accident. Okay, so that explains. So anyway, the point is that the people were jealous. I think that it kind of goes more to this thing that it talks about where they turned the world upside down. You see, I think what was happening was things were shifting. Their world was changing. Now, to help you understand, the only way I know to explain this is to think about whenever I was a kid and I received Christ. I was 13 years old. Okay, now I grant you, things are still forming in my brain and concepts and stuff. But I came and I met Christ when I was 13 years old. And at that time, a change took place in my attitudes and the things that were inside. I began to understand this concept of personal property. It used to be that I didn't see, you had something, I liked it. Well, okay, it's mine now. Okay, I didn't have a problem with that until I met Christ. And the concept of personal property and respect for my elders, respect for other people. I began to understand why the Bible tells me not to bear false witness. Why the Bible says thou shalt not steal. Why the Bible tells me. Before, the Ten Commandments were just some rules somebody made up. But now they had meaning because I understood the author and what he was trying to teach me. Right, the Holy Spirit changed my life. Changed my attitudes. Guys, do you see what was going on? He turned my world upside down. He made me. Now, I'm going to propose something to you. I don't think the world got turned upside down. I think the world got turned right side up. Okay? I think that's what it was. It was getting turned right the way God wanted it, the way God intended it. But they, from their perspective, said, no, They're turning the world upside down. All the things I've counted on, the way I built my business, and the ideas of cheating from other people and taking what's there and holding it for myself and all these concepts, they're changing the rules. And I think that's part. And I think that it was more than just that jealousy, or at least that term jealousy, it then encompassed these things. Okay? And the fact that their whole life, their whole system of understanding of how life worked, everything had to be readjusted and everything had to be changed, and they were being forced to make some changes that they were uncomfortable with. And so the Jews realized they were losing power. They were losing control. They were losing their hold on the monopoly that they had. And they were losing that, and so they were angry at Paul. Folks, that's still going on today. You know, when Jesus comes to you, he's going to make changes in your life if he hasn't already done so. And I'd like to tell you, it just happens once, but it doesn't. I'm now, 50 years in my Christian faith, and God is still saying, Curtis, you know, that needs to be turned. That needs to be tweaked. You need to change this. 50 years, you'd think I'd get it right by now, but I'm still learning. Yeah. And here's the thing. God is going to do that in our lives. He's going to come to us. He's going to talk to us. And he's going to challenge us and want us to change. Just like this. Sometimes it's comfortable and we can do it easily. But sometimes it's dramatic. And just like these people reacted negatively to the message that Paul was bringing about Christ being the Messiah, sometimes we get on our high horses and we rear back and we say, wait a second, God, that's a little bit too much. And I want to caution you today that we need to pray that God will always make our hearts open to him. That just like it was whenever we first received him and said yes to him and said, you can change my life, we need to be willing to say the same thing every day. Every day when we get up, today, Lord, make the changes in me that you need to make so that I can serve you the way you want me to. So here's Paul and Silas, and they were with this crowd, and they couldn't find Paul, and so they took the person. We don't know anything about this guy, Jason, except that apparently he gave Paul and Silas and the rest of the company that was with them a place to stay while they were there. And they took them, and they took them out, and they began shouting and said that they were, listen to the charges, they make three of them. First of all, they came out and they said, these men have caused trouble all over the world, or they've turned the world all upside down is one of the things, the charges. And then it goes on and it says, they're all defying Caesar's decrees. Okay? Oh, and it says, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. So they accused of harboring the enemy kind of thing, all right? Jason of harboring the enemy. And then they're all defying Caesar's decrees. In other words, they're saying that they're telling us to not follow the laws that Caesar's laid down and to consider him to be the king, the true king, okay? And in a sense, you know, these charges were true in one sense. You know, you can take and bring charges against people and you can distort and twist and turn the understanding of things so that you can prove your point. And I listen to these charges that are made in the political realm, both sides. And you know, if I wanted to just take a side, either side, yeah, I could understand some of those charges. But you know, whenever you come and you say, no, what is it really going on here? You find that neither one is right. You find that they're all exaggerating. That's exactly what happened here. They were exaggerating. They were saying they're doing all these terrible things without ever taking a step back and really looking. Is that what they were saying? No, they were saying that Jesus is the king of a spiritual kingdom, not of this kingdom. They weren't trying to have Jesus replace Caesar. They weren't trying to say that he had a kingdom of this earth to challenge Caesar, although it would in a sense. And if we were all truly yielded, it would change a whole lot in our government. But what they were saying, what the people were accusing them of, were falsehoods, okay, in essence. So when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. And then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. So moving on quickly, They let Paul and Silas go, or they let Jason and his group go. And then in verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. So they, rather than risk them getting arrested and another confrontation, they helped Paul and Silas sneak away from the city. And it says they went to Berea, okay? And it says on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. One more time, and the story starts again. They went to the Jewish synagogue. But this time it says, now the Berean Jews were of a more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined it. Instead of jumping to the conclusions, instead of the resistance and saying, we're not going to yield to this Christ, we're not going to let him change our lives, they were willing to seek out the truth. They were willing to find out. It says they examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. They wanted to pursue the truth. And I think one of the contrasts that I want you to see today is the difference between the Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, I guess is the proper way, the Thessalonians and the Bereans. The Thessalonians resisted Christ making changes. They weren't interested in the truth. They were just interested in how it affected them, the truth that affected them. They weren't interested in pursuing to know a true God. They were just saying, okay, can I go on with my life and live it the way I want? And they couldn't. They couldn't confront Christ. They couldn't meet Christ and continue to go on. Instead, the Bereans were here, and they said, yes, we want to know the truth. And if that truth means change, we're willing to embrace it. And they began studying that word. And the question that we're faced with today is very simple. Very simple. Are you like the Thessalonians? And you want to meet Christ on your terms? You want to dictate to him how you're going to live your life? You want to dictate to Christ what he can do? Or you want to be like the Bereans and say, Christ, reveal yourself to me. Show me the truth so that I can embrace it and you can change my life. You see, that's the difference. And every day, and folks, that's the thing you have to understand, is every day, every single day we get up, we're faced with that same challenge. Today, am I going to allow Christ to impact my life today? Or am I going to resist him? Am I going to put up my arms? I hope that always, every day, we wake up as a church and as individuals and say, Christ, draw us closer to your heart. That's my desire. It's my prayer for you guys, that Christ draws us closer to his heart. So what happened? Just to finish this out, and it says, as a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. And then verse 13, but, there's that word again, but when the Jews, not in Berea, but in Thessalonica, heard that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. And the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. And those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens, and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. So we find that Paul has made it to Athens, Greece. And that's where we're going to pick it up later. But as we leave here today, we're faced with that challenge. Are we going to follow Christ today? Are we going to do what he wants? Or are we going to resist him? You see, it's the gospel's simple. It's very simple. Over and over again. And each day, we are faced with the challenge to follow Christ. And it doesn't matter if you've been attending church for 50 years, like me. Okay? Well, actually, I've been attending longer, but that's been as long as Christ has had his way. Doesn't matter if you've been attending church for 50 years like me, or what is it, 395, Mom, that you've been? Oh, okay. It's my mother. I can say it. Okay. So, or, yeah, yeah, that I can't do. Okay. Or are you going to resist Christ today? See, it doesn't matter. Are we going to say yes today, no matter how long? Or are we going to say no? Because each day is new. And each day we're faced with that challenge. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for who you are. And I want to give praise to you, God. I want to ask that as we as a church family meet, as we as individuals in our life relationship with you, God, as each day we're faced with the challenges of how we're going to live and what we're going to do, I pray, God, that we'll have hearts that are receptive to what you want to do. And I pray, God, that we will be like the Berean, that we'll seek you out in truth. We'll seek to know you. We'll seek to draw close to you, to understand what you're doing in our lives. And that we'll seek to say yes and yield to the things that you reveal about who you are. I pray, God, that you'll help tear down the barriers that we put up. And this littleness of our own hearts, our jealousies, our angers, our pettiness, God, that we'll be able to put it aside and that we will seek constantly your face. I want to give you a moment and just give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe Christ is saying something to you today about your relationship with him. There are altars here. You can come and pray if you wish to do that. And it may be that God has another decision for you to make. Maybe you have looked at this and you say, you know what? I've been resisting what God wants. And I just need to say yes. And you need to make a rededication of your life. Or maybe you need to say simply, I've never asked Christ in my life, and I want to do that now. And maybe you need to join this church as we seek to impact this community, as we seek to speak truth to this community. Maybe you need to be willing to come and join and become part of this church. Whatever God is saying to you, then I invite you to come. In the quietness of the moment, if we could respond to him. I won't keep you long. Anybody else? Anyone else need to make a decision? Father, thank you for this time together. Ask your blessing as we prepare to leave. God, just that our hearts will be ready to share your grace with the lost world. In Christ. Amen. Before you leave, I want to introduce somebody to you, or a couple somebodies. If you guys want to stand up, just a second. I'd like to introduce to you Jack and Royette Graham. They probably don't need an introduction. They've been here longer than I have, okay? But they've been kind of torn between Kingman and here, and they've come to say today that they want to make this their church home. So if you're excited for that decision, yeah, there you go. And I'm going to ask that they stay up here in the front, you know, after the service is dismissed. And you come by. You welcome them into the family, okay? I mean, I kind of say that kind of weird because I've already felt like they were family. But welcome them, okay? And come give them thanks. A couple of people want to make announcements. Newt? Yeah, we're going to take care of that, Mom. Yeah, we got a couple things to do, okay? everybody gets ahead of me. But of course, I have such a lousy memory, you guys have to prompt me. So I understand, okay? Couple things. One is a couple things here. Doris has been fighting an infection, okay? And that has come back. She's been on antibiotics, thought it was getting better, took her off the antibiotics. It's coming back. And, you know, I know, Linda, you understand this exactly. And she's struggling here. And, folks, we just need to pray for her. And equally, Jack and Royette are both kind of lined up for surgeries. Jack is looking at a surgery this Wednesday, too. So we need to remember to pray for him. Doris, I know that it would be tough for you to stand up, but I'm just going to ask, if some of the ladies that are right there by you, if you could just put your hand on her. Yes, you don't need to stand. But if you could just gather around here, some of the ladies, and some of the men, if you could come and just stand with Jack, okay? Any of the men who need to feel like you need to pray with Jack. And I just ask that one or two of you lead out. Okay. Father, I just want to take this time thanking you both for Doris and for Jack. And Father, knowing that their medical conditions are well known by you, knowing, God, that you know them much more intimately than even any doctor who's examined them 100 times will know them. And Father, we pray that as they each look at these medical concerns this week, that you'll be with their doctors to give them wisdom, and that you'll, Father, be with and guide them in whatever procedures need to be done. I pray that you'll help bring healing to their bodies, strengthen them, and encourage them at this time. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. And then, as is our custom, on the Sundays that we observe the Lord's Supper, we also take up a benevolent offering. So, I've asked the deacons to come forward, and this will be a benevolent offering. And once they're finished, we'll see about getting dismissed. So, okay, Bob, are you going to pray?
God and Jesus and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, please let us use this benevolent offering only in a way that would be pleasing to you. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.